Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Been a busy week in Washington, D.C., as efforts at a continuing resolution have risen and fallen. We're going to talk about some of the factors that are weighing in on that. Scott, good to have you here.
Well, it's great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
Speaker Johnson put together a continuing resolution, and the first effort at it didn't go so well, did it, Scott?
That's right. Well, yeah, this week, Congress was facing this December 20th deadline, and Speaker Johnson, with the Democrats, negotiated a massive bill. And for a long time, you've got conservatives that have been saying, you know what, we just had a mandate election with Donald Trump. Why don't we kick the funding into the early days of the Trump administration, let's say the middle of March, and then we'll deal with these issues later. And so, you know, you would think that pretty much a clean legislative package, something that just extends federal funding for a couple of months, would have sailed through. But the Democrats are pretty good negotiators, and they tried to pull one over on the Republicans. There were all sorts of anomalies tucked into this legislation. There were special interest provisions for K Street, especially in the health industry. And they even tucked in the first pay raise for Congress in 14 years and tried to exempt themselves from Obamacare. And it created this huge backlash through social media, in part because Elon Musk has bought Twitter and renamed it X and used that platform as a real-time way to communicate with not only the American public, but also with members of Congress. And I think Musk, in his proximity to President Trump and J.D. Vance and others, not just with the Doge Committee or Commission, but also with everything that he wants to be involved in on the political side, the threats that he's made to primary members of Congress, really weighed heavy. And so they brought to light these various provisions that were tucked into a bill that, instead of being about 30 pages long, ended up being 1,540-something pages long. And we saw Elon Musk really flex his power. Donald Trump and Don Jr. ultimately came out opposed to the bill. Ramaswamy was out there opposed to it. And you initially saw a little bit of pushback from who I would consider to be the uniparty in Washington, D.C., because they probably had two or three pages of the legislation that was their pet project. But ultimately, Mike Johnson had to pull the bill down. And so we saw President Trump on Wednesday evening issue additional statements where he called for Republicans to suspend the debt limit, because you might remember the Fiscal Responsibility Act, which passed in June of 2023, that suspended the debt limit through January 2025. And we've seen $4 trillion added to the national debt in really about 18 months. And Trump knows that when he takes office, Treasury will have to engage in what's known as extraordinary measures that sort of, you know, punt or, you know, kick the can down the road through June in order to avoid a default on our nation's debt obligations in terms of servicing the interest on the debt. And he's calling for Congress to increase the debt limit and not allow Democrats to have any leverage over him early on in the summer, because Democrats, even though they'll be facing Republican majorities, they do have the legislative filibuster in the Senate. I don't think that President Trump's team has informed him about the reconciliation process and how Republicans could actually deal with the debt, the deficit, budget, overspending, tax policy, all that together in the same package. You can increase the debt limit through reconciliation. You wouldn't be able to do a suspension of the debt limit to basically a date in the future, but you have to bring back a dollar amount, because budget reconciliation ultimately deals with the flow of federal spending and revenues and the debt limit.
Congress, of course, continuing to work on coming up with a continuing resolution here as we count down here very quickly to Christmas Day. Scott, taking a look at what you said earlier, the Democrats snuck a number of things into the bill that's now been pulled down. Is this reflective of the fact that maybe they haven't quite yet come to terms or realized that the playing field has changed and that the American public doesn't want all this stuff thrown into an omnibus spending bill?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate because Speaker Johnson is a conservative and we've all wanted him to succeed. But he's been at the negotiating table with the Biden team, with Chuck Schumer, with Mitch McConnell. And these are the uniparty, swampy creatures that are used to business as usual this time of year. They want to get those members that have no accountability through future reelection, sort of their legislative send-off. And this is how Washington works, with the back scratching and the favors that are ultimately rewarded to those that are politically connected on the backs of the American people. And, you know, I think that the working class, the forgotten voter, the disconnected voter spoke loudly in the November election. And they're telling them that, hey, this isn't going to fly anymore. This isn't going to fly with President Trump. So they really gave it one last shot, but I'm ecstatic, honestly, about the enormous pressure that social media can place on members of Congress to do the right thing. If a government shutdown happens over Christmas and federal agencies only can continue to do essential services, it's really not the end of the world, because Washington also closes every Friday afternoon until Monday morning anyways. And as we are heading to the Christmas season, which is in the middle of next week, and then you've got New Year's, and then you've got the new Congress being sworn in on January 3rd, I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of action happening in the federal agencies with the federal workforce during those times anyways. And, you know, furloughed employees, our military, everybody's going to get paid. In every partial government shutdown there's ever been, everybody gets paid except for the contractors. And the contractors ultimately get their piece of the pie too, because federal spending has ballooned and grown and, you know, really been out of control for more than a generation.
We, of course, will continue to keep an eye on all of this with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, as we typically do, tell us a bit about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. We're united in the ideas of economic freedom, opportunity, and limited government. So if you want to learn more, check us out at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson to the Club for Growth. Scott, Merry Christmas to you and all your family.
Merry Christmas.